Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
My count, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. And if you're tuning in, then you know we were not on terrestrial radio again today. But we're glad you joined us on the podcast, and the SEC basketball tournament will mercifully be over by the time we get back together on Monday. And I know that breaks your heart, Kelly.
Selection Sunday, we'll know where everybody that's in the tournament, where they're going. So unfortunately for us in Hattiesburg, none of our teams are going anyway, except for William Carey.
I was about to say, they play today, 3 and 5 o'clock. Jones also going to go dancing.
And the Pearl River women still have a chance to win the Region 23 championship. But this being a Southern Miss show, no good news to report on the basketball front.
We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. I guess that's good news, and we appreciate all they do, the opening segment of our show every day. Sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, and that is a great place to go this weekend for a great family meal. Don't forget about our podcast. Obviously, you haven't. You're listening. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Kelly and Andrew, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Kind of bracing for stormy weekend weather, opening weekend of Sunbelt baseball. And Andrew, if you look on paper, this should not be a big challenge for the Golden Eagles, as Old Dominion is struggling this year, just 4-10, lost a 5-run game to Mississippi State earlier this week down in Biloxi. But those of us that cover college baseball know you never take a game for granted.
Let me put it to like this, right? Bob, if you had to do this show for 17 straight days on the road, how much of the quality of the show would fall off, right? I mean, that's what Old Dominion's been having to do.
Right.
Of being on the road nonstop. And, mind you, playing really good teams doing it.
And why is that, Andrew? Why are they not playing any home games?
Renovations. Apparently, they don't have stands right now. Uh-huh. And that's a stadium that desperately needs it. Right. And I've seen some of the renovations of the planning. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a nice stadium, but mm-hmm. And we know Old Dominion is a very good baseball program. They were salty in CUSA. They won CUSA not that long ago. They've been in the mix, and I truly think if they were not, if this wasn't 17 road games, they would be sitting quite well, because they've won a series against a very good Charlotte team, took one from Auburn. I mean, they're putting up fights. It's just, I would think the being on the road nonstop is
and
killer.
Won 31 games last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't a slight. Now, Kelly, Georgia State could play with no stands, and it wouldn't matter because nobody would be there to watch them anyway.
Well, the stands they do have are big enough to accommodate a Little League crowd, which is appropriate because they play in what essentially is a Little League field.
Isn't that the truth? I'm never going to get over that.
As they build their new facility. But later on in the program, on the ODU point, Bob Matthews is going to join us, who covers the Old Dominion situation. He'll be able to kind of fill in some blanks there as to why the planning, let's just put it in Southern Miss terms, particularly as important as baseball is to Southern Miss fans, why in the world would you be just now renovating your baseball
Well, that's a
stadium?
Good question.
That is a great question.
You should be doing that in June and July once the season's over so that it would potentially be ready for the next season.
It would make common sense.
I will tell you, Kelly, common sense and organizing things in college athletics
Amen.
don't go together.
Andrew, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, common sense is something maybe the younger kids have got to start Googling.
Yes.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of it going on anymore. But that puts your athletes at a huge disadvantage.
Absolutely. It's very unfair for them. I can't imagine having to be on the road nonstop and actually do the student part of it, which I know it's a little bit easier to be online and stuff, but that at some point it gets exhausting. I hated it, and from the few times I had to do it when I would go on the road and cover the Golden Eagles, and it was a nightmare.
And people talk about the SWAC basketball teams and how, you know, like Mississippi Valley was 3-27 or something like that not long ago. And when you look at a lot of the SWAC team schedules, they'll sometimes play their first 13 or 14 games on the road, mm-hmm. and they do it every year.
Yeah,
and they have to do it, you know, for money games, you know, to get to get the to get that check, as a famous coach in Hattiesburg once said.
Who was that?
But they have to do that. But that's and then you wonder why your team is 3-24 when you're playing your first 14 or 15 on the road.
Well, like Andrew said, they've played every game on the road. They've played 14 games. They're 14-10. So I guess
4-10.
Yeah. I'm sorry. 4-10.
They wish they were 14.
They wish they were 14-10. 4-10, and come in here tonight to play a pretty tough baseball.
I mean, they've
team.
Played Georgia Tech. They've played Auburn. They've mm-hmm. played Mississippi State and Biloxi the other night. I mean, there's been no rest for this weary. Like, I mean, that's brutal. Right. You think Southern Miss's schedule's hard? Theirs is just tough.
Next segment, we're going to hear from a kid that's really making a splash on the baseball team, Jake Cook. But before we get to that, Andrew, obviously J.B. Middleton pitches tonight, and I don't want to – J.B. has pitched well, don't misunderstand, but I don't think he's pitched his best.
No, and you could argue that that's a good thing, too.
Yeah,
I mean, you want him to be hitting his stride, which this is probably the time that you want to start the stride, given conference play is here, right?
Right.
But – in a perfect world, he's got to go six innings. He needs to go six innings.
Yes.
And look, and I've said this before, his first three innings, they're awesome. They're great. It's beautiful pitching. But it's just something happens, and he finds himself in a 30-pitch inning, and he struggles to get out of it. And we saw it a little bit in the spring scrimmages too, but he's got to get past that.
But lots of times that happens with pitchers in general, though, because once you go through that lineup one time, When you look at numbers, and I'm a numbers guy, you guys all know that, the second time you see a pitcher as a hitter and the third time, the batting averages go up. Once you've seen him once, so those averages go up. So that's not just a Middleton thing is what I'm trying to
say.
Well,
but the thing is, though, that's when his walks start to come about and he starts finding himself behind the pitch count. Those are things that he can work on. Yeah, you're 100% right. There's definitely an argument that they're seeing him better, sure. But when you're getting behind the pitch count and, you know, you're facing these 3-0 counts and having to come back, which has been the case, that's kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
But in your words, nitpicking, right?
I mean, for sure.
It's a great team.
I don't know if that's nitpicking because you're Friday guy. Here's why the first day of the week, the first day of a weekend series is the most crucial, as well as in a tournament. You're trying to preserve your bullpen. The less guys you can throw and have for Saturday and Sunday, the more chance you have of winning and sweeping a series. So if you're having to go into your bullpen, take your guys like Kobe Allen and guys that you need, that you know you'll need in the back end early on, you're kind of hurting yourself.
Kind of. But I think, with all due respect to my young Jedi friend here.
Not a Jedi. Far from it.
Oh, you're not? Okay. All right. Well, does that make you a Sith? I don't know how all that works. But this Southern Miss bullpen is deep. It's good. It's talented. I think they're fine.
I don't think it's that deep.
Oh, I do.
I don't think it's that deep yet. I think there are guys who have to grow, and we're going to see it. But, right now it's like you've got two arms you can really trust. If they're on, they're on. They're great. But – you know, there's some guys who've been inconsistent. That happens with baseball.
Yeah,
I get it.
Can we all admit, though, that's been sort of what you've seen under Oz, and as the year goes on, the bullpen just gets better.
And I'd like to point out, there's always the chance one of your starters just has a hiccup. Like you gotta have the fail safe there. That's why you, like, let's say Cross Sibley has a bad day, he goes two innings, and then it's a bullpen game.
But some of those guys that maybe have not been performing so well, just when you think they're not going to perform right. well, they come in and have the game of their life.
Well, and that's the beauty of Oz's pitching staff.
Yeah.
But this is the long haul. I'm talking long haul.
And Bob, because of the weather now, they've kind of jockeyed starting times, right?
It's play tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That's a late starting game. And I was looking at the weather on my way back to the studio. That's iffy. The weather's going to be really bad tomorrow afternoon. So 6 tonight, 7 tomorrow night, and then 12 o'clock. And Andrew, that's a pretty quick turnaround. You play baseball to 10 to 10:30 at night, and you're back out there at noon the next day.
Well, I know it's a quick turnaround for me.
Yeah, but that's why you make the big bucks, Andrew. And
I'm waiting for those big bucks.
I was going to say, the turnaround you got right, the big bucks maybe not so much.
Yeah, he's got his own accountant. What's your accountant's name?
Well, I use any of the guys at Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Yeah, you might hook Andrew up to those guys. He's probably going to need it now that he's on the Eagle Hour.
Oh, the government will love you, I'll tell you that.
Real quick, Andrew, is the series win enough? Do they need to sweep?
I kind of think they need to sweep because you look at their Sun Belt schedule. It's favorable in the beginning, and you get all the tough teams on the second half. So you need to pick up as many as you can get early.
That may be good.
I don't know about that because some of these teams tend to play, much like Southern Miss, tend to play good towards the end. And I think you need as much cushion for yourself that you can give as possible because the league's competitive.
And even if they only take 2 out of 3, don't climb back on the bridge.
Don't get back on the bridge. We just got you out of the water. Don't get back on. Jake Cook. Also, Bob Matthews gives us a report on ODU. That's all next. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the program, campusbookmart.net, where you buy all your Southern Miss apparel. And don't forget about Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. That'd be a great place to go after the game over the weekend. And get yourself a great dessert. Bob Matthews is going to preview Old Dominion here in just a moment. But first, one of the kids that's going to make a big impact, it looks like through the rest of the year, seems to have nailed down center field and is hitting the ball, showing a lot of speed, really a lot of upside to this kid, Jake Cook. Talked to him earlier this week, and here's what he thinks about his debut as the center fielder for the Golden Eagles. All right, Jake Cook on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. First of all, congratulations. You've certainly been playing well, and I'm guessing that you're having a lot of fun.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right, talk about your journey here and what your expectations were for yourself that have led up to where you are today.
Yeah, well, I came in as a freshman, and I was really excited to be here. I knew a lot of guys here. I knew I was going to have a lot of fun. I didn't have the freshman year I wanted. I broke my leg and redshirted and then got hurt in summer ball again. So wasn't able to hit my redshirt freshman year. So I was just pitching last year, and I was kind of hoping that was going to go better, and it didn't go the way I planned. And then went back to summer ball this summer. And so went to summer ball this summer, and I was going to try to hit again, and I still had the same nagging injury. And So I got that fixed and attacked my rehab this fall. Me and Coach Oz had some talks about my expectations for this spring and the kind of player he wanted me to be. So when I got back healthy, I attacked some of those things that he mentioned, and you know, here I am.
All right, so you've nailed down pretty much center field, and you replaced what was really a great center fielder, but you've kind of stepped into that role, and I think in a lot of ways your guys, your games are the same.
Yeah, a lot of our stuff's similar, you know, not going to strike out much, going to put the ball on the ground and use our speed to our advantage. Where I think I differ a little bit is I've got a little bit more power potential, which I haven't really showed off yet, but, you know, I like to – think I can hit the ball over the fence some, so we'll see if that makes a difference.
Well, one of your coaches told me about you today. He said you stand in there in the batter's box on those first two strikes swinging hard, where McIntyre was leaving the batter's box on the first pitch.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've been trying to do, is do some damage while I can early in the count, and then with two strikes my approach changes just a little bit more bat to ball contact.
All right, talk about this team that you're a part of. You guys are off to a great start. You played a tremendously tough schedule, but, man, here you stand with 12 wins, top 20 ranking. You got to be feeling pretty good going into the league.
Yeah, I mean, we've played a really tough first 17 games of the year, so to have 12 wins and have won every series is definitely good. And it's good to be battle-tested going into conference play, for sure.
What do you think about the kind of competition you've been playing? Would you guys prefer to play that every night, playing somebody tough?
Yeah, I mean, I like the competition. You know, I don't really want to come out here and play anybody that we're not worthy of playing, I guess. That's kind of a weird way to say it. But I really enjoy playing against good teams and good competition that challenges us mentally and physically. So,
how about these last two teams you played? I thought the team from North Carolina was very, very good. Highly touted team that came in here last night. And although it was a relatively close game, you guys commanded the game really from start to finish.
Yeah, I think I've been really impressed with the last two teams we've played. You know, not necessarily big-name schools, but we knew that they've both been to regionals, and they've done some good stuff with their programs, so we knew we were going to get tested there. I think we performed really well in those games, and, you know, props to them for giving us in a battle.
Talent on this team that you're surrounded with, what's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, everybody from top to bottom is extremely talented and extremely very fun to be with on the team. I've been really impressed just by everybody, especially on the offensive side of it from top to bottom. I think everybody on the team is very talented, and any guy you could put in the lineup from the hitter side would be successful, so it's nice.
And what about this pitching staff?
Yeah, they're extremely good too. It's not very fun in spring inter squads and trying to have to hit off of these guys, but it does make it a little bit better getting into the season.
All right, a three-peat of the conference tournament would be enormous. Is that something you guys think about, or do you just maybe take it a game at a time?
I'm more of a game-at-a-time mentality guy, but it's definitely something, you know, you look up at the billboard over there, it says 2023, 2024 Sun Belt champs. So the ultimate goal is definitely to win the conference, but for me personally, I think it's just taking it one game at a time, and when we get there, we'll get there.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fun are you having as a Golden Eagle?
10. Easy 10.
No regrets?
No regrets at all.
Oh, man, thank you. Good luck to you the rest of the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that's Jake Cook. Welcome Bob Matthews to the show. He normally is on the Eagle Hour to talk about the Redskins, but he covers Old Dominion. And other than the fact that Southern Miss is going to curb stomp them, Bob, what do you think about the series this weekend? And I'm just kidding, of course. I'm just kidding.
No. Hey, as a proud Golden Eagle alum, I'm with you on that one. I really am. You know, I think they should. I mean, ODU is a program that, you know, they're fine. They're absolutely fine, but, you know, I think they've won 30 plus games, I think two out of the last 3 years, something like that, but they haven't been to the tournament since, I think it was either 2021 or 2022. So yeah, if you're ranked 22nd in the country, you know, you should be looking at a series sweep here.
Yeah, but in fairness to Old Dominion, they've played every game on the road. We were just talking, how in the world did they manage to start remodeling the baseball stadium during baseball season, Bob?
Well, it's a lot of work that needs to be done, number one. The Matheny Baseball Complex, I can't remember it having a major renovation ever. and this was a park that opened in 1983. So, I mean, it was time. It was, you know, 40 years out of date. So, you know, they're doing a $24 million renovation, you know, putting in the indoor hitting cages and a player lounge and all the stuff you need for the non-rev sports just to keep it competitive. So what they're doing is they're splitting their home games. Majority of them are played in Hampton, Virginia, which is on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay from us. It's only about 30 minutes away. So they're playing at War Memorial Stadium up there, which, by the way, great old school name for any kind of an athletic facility. And then the other, they've got a few series that they're playing in downtown Norfolk at Harbor Park, which is the Norfolk Tides home, which is the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles.
Bob Matthews, my favorite SAE alum at Southern Miss. But
you know it.
You will agree, though, Bob, that this really puts the poor ODU guys behind the eight ball. I mean, having to play this many games on the road. You know, what's a realistic expectation for this squad this season?
It can't be very good. It can't be very high. No, you're right. You know, you're still having to, you know, for a home game, load up on a bus. Even if you're going downtown to play and you hit traffic at the wrong time, it can still be a pain in the ass for 15 or 20 minutes. And getting to Hampton can be quite challenging at the wrong time of day when you hit the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, which takes you over there. So yeah, it's not a lot of fun. But I think they're looking at it as short-term pain will result in some long-term gain. Because like I said, they've needed this renovation probably for about 15 years, and it's just, you know, you got to bite the bullet, you got to do it eventually.
So short-term pain for long-term gain. It sounds like the Trump economy, Andrew Abney. That's
Lord.
That would be one way to describe it. That's for sure.
Bob, I want to ask: I guess they didn't realize that this renovation would coexist. I mean, this schedule that they have played is pretty brutal. I mean, you open the series Georgia Tech. I mean, I know Charlotte. That's kind of a rivalry for them, and then you have Auburn. I mean, did they think that far ahead, or did they just say, "Heck, why not try and raise the road RPI"?
I think it was more the latter than the former. I think whenever you get somebody that says, "Okay, I'll write the check if we start here pretty soon," you're just like, "Well, we'll figure it out as we go along, boys." So, yeah. And they're pretty excited about, you know, the next couple of years. And, you know, what the heck, you know, why not? You know, baseball is, you know, on any given day with baseball, you know, you get a hot pitcher, so they figure, why not? You know, you got to keep the schedule somewhat competitive because you're still out there recruiting and trying to get guys into the program. You don't want the cover to be bare once the new park does open.
I want to ask you about the actual team. They seem to have at least three strong starting weekend pitchers. What's kind of the identity of this team and what's been going on with it?
So, full disclosure, I have been so wrapped up with the Commanders offseason and the Capitals that I have not, honest to God, paid a lot of attention to ODU's baseball program. If you can get Ted Alexander on before the series is over, he'll quote you chapter and verse on it. But I have not had a whole lot of time to follow him, to be honest with you.
So you're predicting a sweep by the Golden Eagles. Is that what we're hearing, Bob Matthews? And then you're predicting the team formerly known as the Redskins to be in the Super Bowl next year.
Not going to surprise me if they are. It also wouldn't surprise me if you know, they lost on wild card weekend or the divisional playoffs. But to answer your first question, yes, absolutely. I mean, USM is ranked 22nd in the country, so
yeah.
they should sweep this series.
One big obstacle facing Washington, the Philadelphia mm-hmm. Eagles. I sure hate to say that, but that's the reality, right?
It is the reality, but here's the great thing, Bob, is that they are now, they're in the position of being able to figure out what they need to do to beat Philadelphia.
There
you know,
you
go. It's not just about trying to build a foundation on the roster. They can actually try and find some players that can compete with Philly.
All right, Bob. Thanks, buddy. Bob Matthews, everybody. Right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, thanks to our buddy Bob Matthews for stepping in at the last moment when the play-by-play guy had something else he had to do. We do appreciate that. Getting ready for ball here tonight. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show, and it's a great place to enjoy a great lunch, good dinner, catch the ball games tonight. If you don't have tickets to get in, I guarantee you it will be on the TV. And don't forget, you can stay informed with the Pine Belt News. It's your go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore their other publication, the Signature Magazine. And for $35 a year or $55 annually, if you live outside, you can get the publications. And an autographed picture of Andrew Abbedy comes with that yearly subscription.
See, I didn't know that. That's mm-hmm. what
that's the new incentive that they just announced this morning.
I don't know if it's an incentive at this point.
And the other publication in Hattiesburg, Bob, to give them a little bit of credit, if you want the very latest on the Reagan assassination attempt, that's on their head.
They had a follow-up on Lincoln as well last week. Yeah, I don't know if you caught that. That was really good.
I'm not saying they're behind the times.
I should laugh at that, but that was pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
Our next guest works for a big-time publication. He's the sports editor of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. We're glad to have Patrick McGee back. He was on vacation. Then he falls ill. He sounds a little under the weather tonight, today. But, Professor, it's good to have you back on the show, man.
Good to be back and feel somewhat normal again. So I'm close to normal as I've been in a while.
So the flu knocked you down, I understand.
Yeah, the flu, it's been going around here in New Orleans. I think a bunch of people around Mardi Gras. It's kind of easy. Once you're packed in with a bunch of people, it's easy for stuff pass from folks to folks. And this was my year to get bit.
Let's be honest, Andrew. It was the brown bottle flu, wasn't it?
No. I mean, I'm sure it didn't help. But
Well, we're glad you're back, although I want you to take it easy after this interview now, Patrick, and, you know, drink some cough syrup and lay down for a little while, brother. We don't want to lose you. All right, Patrick, it's been 3 weeks since we talked. Get us up to speed on the Saints. What's the big news coming out of New Orleans?
Signing Reed, the Kansas City safety, was a big one. He's a guy. He's from Louisiana. Went to Stanford, but he's somebody that's kind of got that. They needed another defensive back. They lost Will Allen to free agency, and Reed, I think, is somebody that's going to, in terms of an impact guy, that's somebody that you kind of point to as a guy that's going to be relied to as kind of really a cornerstone of that defense. Moving forward, you know, whenever you have Reed coming in, guy's still in his 20s. You have Matthew Honey Badger still in his, well into his 30s now. So that's one guy you kind of point to. And one other thing they kind of put out there is reportedly the Saints are in the mix for Cooper Kupp, the Rams receiver who was released. So, I think some Saints fans are feeling a little bit kind of – they signed Chase Young to an extension. And then they went out and signed Juwan Johnson to a new contract. And I think for a lot of people, so it's just more of the same. And to me, that it kind of feels like that also, you know. But there's been a lot of movement this week, and I'm not coming out of this saying, this team has put itself up to be better in next season. I don't think I feel that way, or I don't think a lot of Saints fans feel that way.
Even with the new coach, you think things will relatively be the same, but that's because he kept the same GM, correct?
Right. Well, I mean, this is more personnel-wise. You know, you put more in there in that staff and kind of, rejuvenate things. They can be a better team. You know, they can maybe have an outside shot at competing in the division. But personnel-wise, you're sitting here thinking this team's not going to look that dramatically different. You know, they need more talent on the skill positions on offense. They need to be deeper on the offensive line. There's just a lot of things they need to do, and there was just no way they're going to be able to address every need this year. And so far, they've kind of just kind of like pushed pieces around is what it kind of feels like so far.
If you had to give a grade, and I know this grade is capable of fluctuating, but if you had to give them a grade right now on free agency, what would it be?
Probably C-, somewhere around there. But at the end of the day, this team wasn't going to be changed through free agency. They're going to have to change themselves through the draft. You know, they need to get younger and more talented. There's only so many guys you can go out there and get on the free agent market that are going to change things for the long run, you know. So I think the grade is we're going to have to wait till the draft has come and gone. Hey, has this team improved itself? right now, it's you can't really say that, but there's still a long ways to go.
Last year at this time, we were talking about how old the Saints were, and now saying there haven't really been many changes. They're archaic almost now by NFL standards.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were stuck with Derek Carr as much as fans would have liked to see them kind of move along. But I mean, I think they're fine. I'm not going to sit here and bash the Saints for bringing Carr back. I think, you know, compared to a lot of other options out there, he's pretty good. He's a good holdover. He's a guy that you can put out there at quarterback for another season. And as long as he's healthy, he's on the field, you're going to have a chance to win a football game. You know, you're not going to be able to say that with, say, a Spencer Rattler.
The NFL draft coming up next month, and is it reasonable to assume with Kellen Moore coming in as the head coach that they're going to focus on offense in the draft?
No, I don't think so. I think they can go multiple directions here. But I think a lot of people expect them to go draft a defensive end, an edge rusher. But they've already signed Chase Young. I think it does make sense kind of that direction. But I think they're going to be in a position that they're just going to take the best player available. That's my opinion. I don't think they need to be drafting a quarterback in this draft just because I don't think there's a guy out there that's going to be able to change the franchise in this draft. You know, I don't think there's any sure bet. You can't. The Saints have to make this one count. And if they're taking a quarterback at number nine, they're taking quite the risk.
And what about Olave? You said that if there was a Saint that might be on the trading block or that they could stock up on draft capital.
Olave would be one, but he's also he's still on that rookie contract, so he's not really an expensive guy, but he's been oft injured. He's somebody that I think other teams probably would like to have. I think he's somebody that probably, if they wanted to move, they could trade somebody. But, you know, sitting here talking about the roster thing, there's just not a lot of pieces out there that you're going to be able to move and pull in a lot of draft picks. There's just not that. You know, they did that with Marshawn Lattimore during the season, but they just don't have many other guys like a Marshawn Lattimore that they can move and pull in a bunch of picks.
Well, Cooper Kupp would certainly be a nice addition, and I don't think everything that happened to Derek Carr was completely his fault. I mean, you got to have pieces around you, and Cooper Kupp would certainly be a nice offensive weapon, right?
Yeah, I mean, they really need a third receiver, you know, aside with Shaheed and Olave. They need somebody else out there. It was pretty obvious whenever either Shaheed or Olave or both were out. They just didn't have the dudes. So it does make sense to bring in really a veteran that's productive, and nobody's been more productive than Kupp, especially, I guess it was 2021 where he pulled in like 140 passes. So I think Kupp would be a guy that would be a great addition, but I'm skeptical that they're going to be able to make it happen.
Yeah, without that third receiver, that offense is pretty Shaheed-y.
Yeah.
Is this mic on? I'll be here all week.
Crickets.
Well, it's probably about to get turned off.
Let me, unrelated note. I wanted to ask you about kind of the college baseball realm, Patrick. Louisiana, obviously, the state of Louisiana, not so much the Cajuns, but Tulane having a good team, LSU doing its thing. I mean, what's kind of your thoughts? Have you seen anything out in the college baseball world that's maybe surprised you?
No, I mean, it's for me, I was kind of out of the loop for a little bit, just being out sick and being out trying to get moved. But yeah, LSU baseball is still really, really, really good. UL is down. They're just a young roster. Or I should say they have some veterans that just aren't playing very well. And they're having to kind of rely more on young guys. And I think that's probably smart with them moving forward. UL has been one of those programs that just seems to kind of reload. But this year may be kind of a little bit of a rebuild. But you know those guys at some point during conference play are going to be a pain in your butt. So you just don't really want to be playing them whenever they're at the top of their game. So LSU is probably going to win, got another shot at the conference championship. But UL, they're down. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, the Green Wave seem, although
they're better.
I think their schedule is a little suspect, but are they a wild card? Can they pull a triple, a three-peat of the AAC somehow?
Yeah, I mean, outside of East Carolina, you don't really know what to expect in the American. So, I mean, any team like Tulane is going to have a good enough roster to compete in that conference. They're going to have a shot, but, yeah, I mean, yep. You know, you lost the series to Pepperdine. You took two out of three from Loyola. These are going to be different teams that, we'll see what comes of Tulane moving forward. But I'm not buying the Green Wave at the moment, no.
LSU's the best team in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're always going to be. But, I mean, UL's got times whenever they're really, really good. But, I mean, LSU is always going to be the most talented team in Louisiana, pretty much always. And but especially with the money they have to throw around in terms of NIL and stuff like that, the way the game is set up now. So LSU is just always going to be loaded. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be one of the best teams in the nation.
And near the finish line here in the NBA, Patrick, how would you describe the Pelicans' season?
Oh, they got eliminated from the playoffs last night, and it's March 14th. I guess that's probably all you need to know.
Patrick, I hope you get to feeling better, brother. We're glad to have you back with us every Friday, and we'll look forward to getting back in sync with you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee, an ailing Patrick McGee, we might add, but still playing hurt.
And I appreciate his honesty when he said the brown bottle had a little something. Yeah,
to be fair, both of those things might play a role in the fact that almost every team in New Orleans is suffering right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Gee, what would we know about suffering fans here at Southern Miss?
Because we do nothing but win.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have Patrick McGee back with us, and appreciate Bob Matthews joining us. Also enjoyed hearing from Jake Cook. We'll try to get you some more player interviews next week, of course. All right, Andrew, before we get to your baseball breakdown, softball, man, we're following the softball team, and things are looking pretty good there.
Yeah, you know, they didn't have the sharpest game against Alabama State, but they did things as a team that is on the up and up that they should be doing. You know, they were up, I think it was like 7-5 or 7-4 heading into the top of the seventh or bottom of the seventh, and Alabama State tied it and went and pulled it into extra innings. And mind you, Alabama State, 3-win team, shouldn't be doing that. Of course, it's a road game, but they came back, they held on, and they won. Mm-hmm. And there's not very long ago, that doesn't happen. And right. I think this you're starting to finally see this team come together. They're starting to hit the ball, which I think is a big thing for them. Pitching, still a little unpredictable. They put their starter out there. She kind of struggles. Gardenia came in, and then she just got hit when she didn't need to get hit. And she gave up a 3-run bomb to tie the game. And true freshman, you know. Mm-hmm. Jana Lee came in, finished it off. But I think, you know, it's going to be another moment of truth series for them as they start conference play against Georgia Southern, who I think they're like 14-11, so they're not much far off from Southern Miss. They're a very good pitching team. Hitting, they've struggled. If they come out of a road series with just winning a weekend series to open conference play, I think they're going to be in good shape.
We can say, though, that they've improved. They appear to be improved. Is that
definitely
fair to say?
Definitely.
And Andrew, in women's basketball, we've been talking about how we think that there could possibly be a coach named within the next 7 to 10 days. And it does, all indications would now lead us to believe that it's not going to be Missy Bilderbach. And if it's not, then what do you think?
Well, let me just say it has to be in 7 to 10 days because the portal opens on the 25th. So that's your time frame, right? You want to be able to keep the players you want to keep, assuming that's what the coach would want to do. I would think you want to keep your freshman of the year and all those other good players. But yeah, I think If I was, and again, I don't know everybody who's thrown their hat in the mix. I just know of the ones that I've heard that are in the mix, that might be in the mix. You know, you talk to industry sources. I'm kind of thinking the coach from Southeastern is high on the radar. Ayla Gazzardo, if I'm saying her name correctly, and she has quite the resume. She has turned Southeastern around. They're 25-4 this year. She's taken them to the NCAA tournament. She's familiar with the area. I mean, proven head coach, familiar with the area. That's Jeremy McClain's big two, right? You know, but there could be somebody else in the mix that we don't know about. I don't know if the Missy Bilderback steam is there, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think there is at this point. And it used to be we'd go to Oklahoma State to get head football coaches. Apparently now we go to Southeastern Louisiana to get basketball coaches.
You expect an announcement next week, Andrew?
I would think so. Yeah. But I don't know where they're at in the interview process. I haven't heard anything about that.
Meanwhile, breaking today, Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey is being reported fired at Iowa after 15 years.
Seven NCAA tournament appearances, a few Sweet 16s, I think an Elite Eight. I mean, he's...
What have you done for me lately?
That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? And Rice has made a baseball coaching change.
Well, that one needed to happen. But Rice is just, gosh, how the mighty have fallen when the Wayne Graham era ended. They had the chance to kind of do what Southern Miss and Coastal have done, and they just dropped the ball badly.
And I can remember those were great series between Southern Miss and Rice.
Now, I'm going to tell you this, and although Rice isn't in the conference with Southern Miss anymore, I think this person who should be at the top of their list is David Pierce, who former Texas coach, Texas State pitching coach right now, former Tulane coach who knocked out Ole Miss in their own regional a few years ago. I mean,
yeah, good stuff.
Well, I say that because, you know, if they get turned around, that's a team that's a mid-major team that they're going to have to compete with for a hosting spot down the road.
Right. All right, we got 90 seconds left. Break down this weekend. What are the Golden Eagles? What would you like to see them do, Andrew?
Win.
Oh, well, yeah. We're all on board with that.
I think the big thing is you need to see them cash in on runs, the loaded bases thing.
Man.
That's probably number one. You want to see Middleton kind of go a little deeper. And then my number two is I kind of want to see somebody who hasn't thrown much lately and kind of shown that they can step up.
Yeah. And I don't think you're going to have to worry about this Southern Miss team sleeping on a 4-10 record team. Southern Miss is going to be ready to play. They know that Old Dominion is capable.
I would like to add one thing. I'd like to play all three games in a timely manner, weather permitting.
6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, two big words, weather permitting.
It could be one of those things where the game gets suspended and they pick up where they left off.
Yeah,
which,
because it's beginning to look rather dismal here now.
To give you context, Tulane had to do that a couple weekends ago. They started a game at 7:30, suspended at 3:30 in the morning, and then played a doubleheader on a Sunday.
Yeah, so that's possible. Anything's possible. Yeah.
Good luck to the William Carey basketball team.
Absolutely.
Participating in national tournaments. The Jones men won the Region 23 tournament. They'll be going to nationals, and Scotty Fletcher's Pearl River women have a chance to win that this weekend down in Pop Vegas.
All right, SEC basketball tournament will officially be over Sunday, so we'll be back normally on the air, but we appreciate you grabbing our podcast this evening, and we look forward to talking to you Monday. Thanks for listening. Southern Miss
to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.